In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. Matt and Ez here of Rebel Watch and Matt of Box Trick here. Do another one of these call hybrid episodes, Ez, because it's May the 4th.
It is, man.
It is. It's May the 4th. So for those of you guys who know, Ezra Kirk, my partner in crime of Rebel Watch. But for those of you guys listening on Box Trick, you've heard him every once or twice. But
yeah, I hop on there and try. You know, I pretend like I know a thing or two about video games, but really, I just like to play them.
Yeah, guys. So this is our May the 4th episode here. So it's been a while. We've been wanting to do a top 10 video Star Wars video games for Rebel Watch, and I was kind of like, hey, well, I kind of have to put together a Box Trick episode for this week, so let's just finally knock it out. So here we go.
I'm down.
So we were going to do a top 10, but then we decided there's just so many.
There's
so
many. Yeah.
We're just going to pick and choose some of our favorites and kind of go through them here in no particular order or timeline.
Right.
Sir Ezra.
Wow.
do you just have the Wikipedia pulled up here?
Yeah, well, I've just got a list of them, you know, like a list of Star Wars video games that I just kind of searched. Just taking a gander here.
So what's the first one that comes to mind when you think?
So, okay, the first one like legitimately comes to mind that I would play... I played it during what I call the dark times, right? Those times when I was one of the few who kept saying George Lucas will make episode 7. I was wrong in that. He sold it. But everyone told me, there's no way. Get over it. Star Wars is dead. How dare they? During those times, though, what I played when I was reading Legends books was Empire at War.
Yeah.
Okay? And I actually forgot, before I played that one, what kind of got me into that was the... Oh, I don't even know the name of it. It was Galaxies?
The original MMO, yeah, Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so Star Wars Galaxies. So now we have the Old Republic, which I believe is going to be closing down soon. I'm not 100% sure. They've kind of some things on that. But, so yeah, so Star Wars Galaxies was the original Star Wars MMO, and it was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Because essentially what happened was they said when it first came out, you couldn't be a Jedi. Because that was kind of the whole thing. It's like, because they thought everyone would be a Jedi.
Yeah.
Then they put Jedi in the game, and it basically broke the game.
Yeah.
Because Jedi were just so powerful that...
I see that, yeah.
Yeah, like...
For sure, I get that. I remember, dude, this, like... I don't even remember. I think it was, like, my cousin Luke had it. And so, like, I only got to play it, like, a couple times or whatever. You know, and then later on is when I got into Empire at War. But, man, it was just, it was different. It was kind of primitive. It was primitive. I mean, was.
It was. It was one of those earlier.
Bare bones.
Yeah, earlier MMOs. I unfortunately did not really spend any time with Star Wars Galaxies. I believe there are still fan servers up. So you can.
Seriously?
So you can go play it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
crazy. That's crazy. But those are the two, like, when I think of... like the computer based, you know, PC game type of, that's what I think of. But outside of that, wow, there's a slew of games.
There's so many. So we have so many to get through here. So I just kind of have the thing pulled up here. So we're just going to kind of dive into this Listen, go ahead.
Yeah, when we do this, can we go sort of like back in time and mm-hmm. sort of do like the most nostalgic game, I guess? And mm-hmm. and I know you know
there's so many. So here, I have the list pulled up here by year here.
Wow.
So the first one I feel like okay, here we go. This is a no real this I don't know. I just have a list kind of pulled up here, so we're going to go through it. So I'm sure there were ones that came up before here, but let's go back to the 1990s. Let's go to kind of the N64 PlayStation era.
Okay.
So I had this on the N64. It was also released on Windows. You can get it right now on dirt cheap on Steam. Star Wars Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah.
Play as a little guy named Dash Rendar.
Right. Man, that game was fun.
Yeah, so it's a third person. I think it was also kind of first person, kind of shooter, action, adventure game. And Ezra, I believe, is that in the 1990s, the remasters mm-hmm. that George Lucas released in theaters, they added in Dash Rendar's ship taken off from Tatooine and that extra CG. That extra CG scene.
They did, which is super cool, right? That was a little Easter egg. But yeah, I remember they even have a companion book with this, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's Shadows of the Empire, right? The novel. And it's neat because you're kind of interacting with, you know, Luke and the, you know, Leia and Han. I mean, it's cool, right? Yeah. You're important, you know, mm-hmm. to what's going on. They need you to track down some stuff, you know?
Yeah. Dash Rendar. I remember this was like a very early game for the N64. Dash Rendar, he has like a blaster pistol. It kind of has to recharge. Has like a jet pack. You have to do like a snow speeder level mm-hmm. where you get to do the Battle of Hoth. There's like one where you're on a train. And you have to like duck and jump stuff up. And, you know, it's all about, I believe it's, what was it? Prince Xizor? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of unfamiliar with the canon of this.
Yeah.
So you may have to elaborate a little bit more on
well,
this.
Well, he's in a lot of the Legends books. You know, he's working with the Black Sun and he's a Falleen, I think. And so mm-hmm. he's interesting character. He basically is always trying to, you know, usurp Vader's, you mm-hmm. know, position and, mm-hmm. and wants to kind of work up there elbow to elbow with old Palpy. But, yeah. And I think there's some, are there cut scenes in this? There's pretty good cut scenes, I think, in this.
At least
there?
Maybe in the PC version. Probably not. Well, the N64 may have some. I can't remember. It's been a good while since I played it.
I feel like there was some that you got some decent.
So a lot of these games we're going to be talking about take, you know, you have, so if you're maybe new to Star Wars, I'm sure I have listeners being like new to Star Wars, but you know, there's a lot of these younger generations yeah. coming in to these, you know, these new Star Wars movies. You have Seven, you know, Rogue One and
sure.
stuff like that. You know, this was back before Disney bought it. And mm-hmm. Back during the old days of what I like to call, some people, we call it now Legends, which I still will always refer to as the extended universe.
The good old EU.
Yeah.
You
know? And this was like kind of a free for all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was great. So, yeah, Shadows of the Empire, it's a classic. I mean, it's one of the best Star Wars games. I still think everyone should absolutely play. It's the third best-selling N64 game of that year.
Yeah. There's just some classic stuff that you can do in it. I mean, it's you've got your bounty hunters, you know, Boba Fett, IG-88, you know, really interesting, you know, so... Some back and forth stuff there. But I think there's even a... Did you already mention the snow speeder situation? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, super cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyways. And it was neat to kind of be on, like, that Millennium Falcon-like, you know, ship. But, you know, it's not, obviously. And just as you're playing as, like, that smuggler slash scoundrel character, which is... Mm-hmm. Just badass.
Dash Rendar. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, he's one of those extended universe Legends characters that everyone kind of wants to come back. So,
mm-hmm, they do.
So it's possible. So, okay, I'm just moving on here. And we'll probably come back to the 90s. We're just jumping around here because there's so many games and, you know, there's a lot to get through. I every time I look at this, I realize I've played way more Star Wars games than I've really realized.
I actually forgot how many I'd played too.
I know.
Until we put the list.
Next on the list, I have Star Wars Masters of Terrace Kai.
Wow.
This is a game we were going to review for Rebel Watch. I guess we'll kind of do a quick review here. But unfortunately, capturing stuff off the PS3 proves a little tricky, so that's how the way I have to do it for the PS1. But this is widely regarded as one of the worst Star Wars video games. It is a fighting game. You know, think like Tekken, like a 3D kind of fighting game back on the PS1. And it's like very unbalanced. Basically, Luke and Darth Vader are by far the best characters because they have lightsabers. But this game introduced me to a very specific character.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a certain thing you can do. And if you beat the game as Darth Vader, I think you have to beat the game as like Luke to unlock Darth Vader. And then if you beat the game as Darth Vader, at the end where you would normally fight Darth Vader, you fight this character. And I was like, who is this? And it was this woman mm-hmm. who had yeah. a purple lightsaber.
Yeah.
And so this is where I was introduced to Mara Jade.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, and so let's see. That's when was this released?
In 97.
Okay. So I think Mara Jade appears.
Relatively new character, right?
Relatively new. But I think it was in, it's the Thrawn trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. That's where she first appears.
Yeah.
So as Hand of the Emperor, and she's with them, they're trying to track down, it's a remnants of the Empire, and they're trying to track down Luke, and, you know, ultimately she ends up falling in love with him, and you know.
Mara Jade is an amazing character.
She's awesome, yeah, yeah. So it's neat that they brought her in.
How powerful is she?
She's pretty darn powerful. she is. I mean, she's, I don't know much about her, like, I know what happens to her when we meet her. And onward.
Right.
But her backstory. I don't really know much about that.
Now, there is. Now, we reviewed this for, was it Patreon we reviewed this for the Rebel Watch Patreon?
Oh, my goodness.
The
yeah.
Mara Jade fan film.
Right.
Which is actually really, it's pretty decent.
Pretty decent. Dark Redemption.
Given the time.
Yeah.
Dark Redemption. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Pretty neat.
So, if you haven't seen that, check it out. I would YouTube video footage of Masters of Teras Kai. It's worth watching once. Yeah. I didn't say playing once. I said it was worth watching.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
So some of these games, Star Wars Yoda Stories, I'm Unfamiliar, Star Wars Rebellion. So that is where you kind of get into, that's where you kind of, we kind of started to get these like X-Wing TIE Fighter games. Star Wars Trilogy Arcade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Ezra, I don't know if you've played this one. Maybe you did, you just don't remember.
Yeah, no. I mean, I might know.
This is one of the best Star Wars video games you can find. If you can still find it in an old arcade, or, you know, now they have these, like, barcades. What it is you have three levels. You have the first one, you're, like, an X-Wing, and you're doing the TIE Fighter thing. You have to destroy the Death Star. Then you do the Hoth mission, and then you get to do, like, the Snow Speed or the Ewok Speeder level, the Endor, Forest Moon of Endor, excuse me.
Mm. Yes.
People always kind of jack
they
that
correct you on that.
Yeah, the Forest Moon of Endor.
Right.
And then you have to fight Darth Vader with a lightsaber, and you're just using the one stick. It's amazing. You could probably emulate it if you get like a MAME emulator or whatever, but
yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't know.
There's so many. Sorry, I have this weird, may have a list pulled up here. Star Wars Demolition. Think it's like Twisted Metal.
Okay.
But with Star Wars characters.
Holy.
It's not super great, but it's a heck of a lot of fun. You can have four people playing at once, and some character you can play as like a Hoth speeder. You can play as an AT-AT. Mm-hmm. You can play as Darth Maul on his little thing. You can play as Boba Fett just with his jetpack.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun even still today.
Yeah,
Star Wars Republic Commando. This is one of the best Star Wars video games, one of the most underrated first-person shooters of all time. It's mm-hmm. on the original Xbox and PC. It takes place during Episode 2. You started on Geonosis, and you are a squad of Republic commandos. And you have like squad-based commands. So it's a first-person shooter, but it's very... if they made a Star Wars Halo.
Wow.
And the story is really, really good. So you're not a Jedi, you're not Han Solo, you're not a smuggler, you're a squad, and you have like specific commands. Like you can be like, hey, go stand over there, breach that door, hey, go do this, and you're just the squad is really cool. It's like they all have like names like Delta, whatever. And it's just, it's their specific story. And it's just, it's really cool.
That's really neat. I've never played that.
Oh my God. It's so good. It's the most underrated Star Wars game. Period. Think, actually, it reminds me a lot of Inferno Squad.
Mm-hmm.
the book that came out and the kind of the Iden Versio backstory is that's kind of what this reminds me of. It's this small, specific squad, and you're just going through their thing. You know, you're troopers, and you know, you're not like superpowered because you don't have force powers or any anything like that. Yeah, it's set during the event of the Clone Wars. You small little commando team made of elite clone troopers. These clones have been specially bred at the clone factories on Kamino.
Yeah,
Delta 38, the Battle of Geonosis. You know, it's...
That's one I'm going to have to roll back around and play, because I'm looking at some of the images and stuff from it. It looks really, really sick, honestly.
Yeah, and it's got a really good story. It's reviews, like on Metacritic. You know, it's like an 87 out of 100, so it's...
Solid.
It's really good here. Let's keep going here. Okay, so now I'm kind of scrolling through. There's so many games, so I'm just kind of scrolling through.
You care if I pick one out here?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So one that I am, you know, familiar with playing, and I think, you're right. There are so many. Let's just land on one here. How about the Force Unleashed?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
The Force Unleashed and The Force Unleashed 2, I believe it was meant to be a trilogy, but it kind of... The Force Unleashed 2 did not do very well. But the crazy thing about these games is that George Lucas specifically said these are canon.
Right. Yeah, he did. He said that. So this was the idea that you're introducing, right, like Darth Vader's secret apprentice.
Yeah, Starkiller.
Right? Starkiller,
which
yeah.
they took, you know, from the original.
Yeah, which is pretty neat. And then, you know, you find out, spoiler, right, at the end that he's
a clone.
He's cloned him, you know. Yeah. And he's just using him, you know what I mean? So it's kind of a sad, you know, like revolving door story here. It's just, I don't know.
They're really good. The second one's basically the first game, and like the levels are like identical. So the second one, unfortunately, is not very good. But the first one, I think, is one of the best Star Wars games. Like it's a lot of fun. It's just it was the first time that it really felt like you were a Jedi.
Yeah.
And they also created some pretty cool new, like, they created
powers.
Like, the well, I'm just gonna say the tech behind that game.
Oh.
So this is right when, like, this was towards the beginning of the PS3. Xbox 360, and I remember seeing demos of it, and you know, so we had just come from the PS2 era, right? Where okay, graphics are a lot better than they were, you know, in the PS1 kind of era.
Oh yeah,
but really, graphics improved quite a bit from the PS2 to PS3 era or Xbox to Xbox 360 era. But really, what improved was kind of like the tech and what you could do in it, rather than just a big graphics update. And I remember specifically seeing a trailer for this where they were just showing off the tech behind it. And so if you think back to old games, you know, when you'd like destroy a box or something, you know, just kind of like, it's like the sprite or the whatever just kind of like fades away.
Right.
This, I remember they were showing, you know, a force power where they're picking up a stormtrooper and they were throwing him through a door and the door broke the way it should. Right. Like there's like, you know, like when, if you were to break, like we're sitting at this table, if you were to break this table, it doesn't just get cut in half. And like, you know, like, you know, this piece of wood is going to be, you know,
oh yeah, it's jagged,
gonna splinter. Right. And that was the first time I'd ever seen tech like that.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, this game's gonna be amazing.
Yeah. 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 It was beautiful. I mean, it was neat to kind of play. I was thinking even like the amount of control it gave you over like the powers.
Absolutely.
The things that you could do.
Yeah,
It was just great.
Just pick it, like you could just pick guys up and throw them wherever you wanted.
Right, and it felt like the recharge bar for all of that was really good. You know, it felt like fair. You know what I mean? It just was satisfying.
You could do force lightning, and it was. You had to play as a villain. Like you had to play as this. You started as a Sith, and then you kind of, well, you can choose at the end, but I think the real story is you kind of become like a Jedi. But you get to pick your lightsaber color, you know, all that kind of stuff. We'd had some games where you get to do that before, but this one was streamlined. The story was really cool, and you were specifically playing as like this like BA Jedi or Force user, right? Where you're doing like the crazy Force lightning, the lightsaber throws.
I mean, at one point, aren't you like pulling down like a Star Destroyer?
No. You don't pull down a star. I think you, no, it is a Star Destroyer.
Is it a Star
Destroyer? It's not a Super Star Destroyer.
No, I don't think it was that.
But that was the trailer, and the trailer was just like one of the first teaser trailers was just this guy standing there, and there's this Star Destroyer way off in the distance, and he's just pulling it down, and then he comes all the way up to the front of him.
Right.
So that's how powerful Starkiller was.
Well, see, and that's what I thought was neat about it. That's why it always kind of sticks in my mind, is because the line where, you know, Darth Vader talks about, you know, the ability to destroy a planet is insignificant, compared to the power of the Force. And it's like, okay, so what can you do then with the Force?
I know, that's actually a big reference point for me, is that George Lucas said this was canon. So I've always viewed it as like, okay, so if you can pull a Star Destroyer from the sky or from orbit down, then, you know, criticisms of, like, say, The Last Jedi or, you know, even The Force Awakens. I remember people saying, like, Kylo Ren can stop time when he stops, like, the one, you know, the blaster bolt in front of his face. It's like, I've always viewed don't get me wrong, I don't think The Last Jedi is the greatest movie ever. That's not, debate for this podcast. But, you know, people, like, I criticize, say, like, the Leia scene because I think it looks weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, I like, to me, people criticize it because we can do that in the Force now. It's like, I think we've always been able to do that in the Force.
Yeah.
I just don't think you were paying attention.
No, and I think you missed the point in episode 4.
Yeah.
I think you missed the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, is that a farm boy can dream, you know, that there are things that you can do with the Force that strike me down. And I'll become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Absolutely.
I mean, like,
So, and that's think about this. So, if we know that Starkiller is not as powerful as Luke or as powerful as Vader, obviously, Anakin has the most midichlorians.
No. How dare you? How dare you bring that up?
So, if Starkiller can pull down a Star Destroyer from orbit, what can Darth Vader do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't really know. Did Starkiller have more midichlorians, you know?
Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
But no, I mean, it's the question, right? You start to think like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you really were pushed to your limit, what could you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. So, you know, it's actually unfortunate that this story ended because I thought it was really interesting. So he essentially kind of dies at the end of the first one. And then in the second game, you realize, well, maybe he's another clone. But then it's kind of teased that maybe he actually was the original.
Right.
And then, like, his girlfriend kind of gets taken away. And,
yeah, I never get to play the second one.
And I just really, you know, it's unfortunate we didn't get to see where it went.
Yeah, because the first,
'cause they were planning on a third one. It was planned to be a trilogy.
Yeah, and the first one, wasn't he taken from a powerful, like Jedi or family or something like that? I mean, isn't that part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, was there any...
I don't think he was a clone in the first. I think it's the second one where he's a clone.
Well, I think at the end, yeah, he finds out that there are other clones.
There are other clones. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like...
But he was just a boy. He was a boy. He was a boy taken. So he was... So it was an actual person.
So he was, like, the original.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's that whole bit where, you know, like, there's another Jedi or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. So,
yeah,
kind of cool. I wish they would have had a complete.
Yeah. So just kind of unfortunate here. So let me keep kind of... Or you have another one
yeah,
pulled
I got
up.
A fun
you
one.
Probably have some better list than I have here. This one's
well,
all
I just
over
got, you know, like... Star Wars Episode 1 Racer.
Oh my God. I cannot. I love that game so much. So I believe it was on the N64.
Yep.
But the best version is the Dreamcast version.
Okay.
If you can find it.
Okay.
But the real best version is the arcade version, which is like an actual pod racing
really
thing. And yeah, so you can actually, it's got like levers and the whole thing.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It's sick. So yeah, so you can criticize Episode 1's pod racing as much as you want, but this game is widely considered one of the best Star Wars games because it's just a super fun racing game.
Yeah, it is super fun. I mean, my sister and I played it time and time and time and time again.
Yeah, because it's really fast.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of like the F-Zero series and, you know, some of these other racing games.
I mean, at one point, I knew all of the pod racers in the Boonta Eve Classic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't anymore, but I knew them because of this game, you know, because
yeah.
I played it that much, and I was just like, wow. Yeah.
Now, there is a sequel to it, and it's pretty ridiculous. It's like Anakin, like Episode 2 Anakin, goes back and competes in a tournament, and like, like runs into it's a hole. It's like pretty ridiculous. It's not nearly as good, but you can get it on the PlayStation Store for like $5.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's keep going. Another one.
I'm remembering these are all the things that like stick out in my mind as like growing up and stuff. But one when we were at what we deem the Newark house. Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My buddy Tom, you know, you were there. We had seven guys in one mm-hmm. house, which was a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. God, it smelled. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
I mean, that's what most people consider to be the single best Star Wars.
Well, I just didn't want to save it for the end because I'm like, get it right here on the KOTOR. In the midst of
this. Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, and then there's of course the Old Republic.
Yeah,
but Knights 1 by far the best. Darth Revan,
dude. Here's the thing. So I didn't know anything really about that when it first came out, or I wasn't really. Mm-hmm. You know, I was reading Legends books, but they were all post 6 and stuff, and were Clone Wars stuff. I would sit and on my little sofa there in my room, my little love seat, and I would play a little bit. Tom would buy us a birthday cake.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get a spicy chicken sandwich from McDonald's, and we would sit there, and I'd play, then he'd hop on, and I'd watch mm-hmm. him play. I was more fascinated. Like there were times where I'm like, just keep playing, man. Like, I just want to watch.
It's,
the story
so good.
Was so good, and I was just like, what's happening? You know, like, what's coming next? I mean, mm-hmm. it was just like, it had you on the edge of your seat, and I loved mm-hmm. every second of it.
Yeah, so this was made by BioWare, the people that went on to make Mass Effect and, you know, things like that. So they're, mm-hmm. you know, Dragon Age, they're, you know, very good publisher.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Darth Revan, Bastila, Malak, you know, and this was at least the first Star Wars video game that I remember where, like, you had choices
mm-hmm.
and, like, yeah. they mattered and... You know, things like that. You could pick what lightsaber you wanted. You know, right. all this kind of stuff. You could go Sith. You could go Jedi. And like either way is a lot of fun. You know, either way is a lot of fun. And then the story where you kind of realize, hey, that the Jedi knew who you were.
Yeah,
and they
exactly.
were kind of like oh shit. Like well, let's
yeah,
kind of turn.
Yeah, there's some mystery there, right? I mean, like
at the very end, it's a huge like spoiler ending.
Yeah, it is.
And you really don't see it coming. At least I didn't until it was revealed to you. You're like, oh, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Right, but
they do like the flashbacks and
yeah, and they kept it till the end. You know, mm-hmm. The whole piece with like the Starforge, you know, crisis that they were going through there. It was epic. The worlds that you got to go be a part of were just epic.
Jolie Bindo.
Bindo. Yes. What were some of the other characters in that?
Candorous, who in the second game is quote unquote Mandalore, and then of course everyone's favorite droid HK-47.
Yep. Uh huh. That's right.
Who's you know the like droid who's like he's like a Sith droid, right? Like he's all about killing people. He tells you he's like I think it's hilarious when he tells you like the easiest way to kill a Jedi. He's just like to set up traps. He's like they're dumb. Like you know what I mean. Like I don't. He's like for the God's sakes, like don't try to shoot him with a blaster.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's so great.
There was what was the Wookiee's name? Zalbar. Or something
Zalbar.
Yeah.
Mission. I believe Mission and Zalbar.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the second game in that series. The story wasn't as good, but they opened it up a lot more. You know, a lot of different lightsaber types. You had a lot more influence on your team. So, like, you could push people in other directions. So, if you started going dark side and you weren't really friendly with a certain person on your team, you might push them to the light side and mm-hmm. then, like, vice versa. And then you have Darth, like, Sion, Darth Nihilus, and like, Darth Krea.
Yeah.
That game, unfortunately... kind of wasn't really finished. So like there's actually like so people have like uncovered like other assets that are in the game. They just weren't used.
Really?
And so there's actually like an extra mission. You can kind of like mod it and get that full extra mission online. And there's like silver lightsabers and all that kind of stuff. But it's super cool. They're both super fun. And that one has a really cool you go to the Sith Academy that's running and there's like two kind of competing Sith lords and you mm-hmm. can like you can totally like basically one of them's gonna kill the other one
right
but you can like say hey I'm gonna help you and then go to the other one and say hey I told him I'm gonna help him and I'm gonna help you mm-hmm. and so like it's kind of just kind of cool all the choices you get and stuff like that
yeah Yeah, it was just one of those ones that once you start like an obsession. I mean, it almost cost me my first semester of college. I mean, it really did. I'm not making that up either. We had to cut ourselves off. As a matter of fact, I don't know if Tom's going to listen, but I think it did cost Tom his
semester. I think it did.
Oh my God. Completely honest. It was insane, man. I'll never forget. I mean, I probably put on 20 pounds because, literally, dude, every day, the other guys were playing Counter-Strike.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And I wasn't as into that, right? And so. What were we playing on Xbox?
Original Xbox, yeah. Xbox. It came out on that and PC back in the day, maybe, but.
Yeah. But man, I mean, we would hit up.
Now it's on everything. You can get on your iPad if you want.
Dude, this is where it all went downhill for me. I mean, it was.
It was
crazy. But so I would get the spicy chicken sandwich, man. I'm not kidding you. McDonald's had this sick, spicy chicken sandwich. I'd get me a large Coke, big old fry. And maybe even a couple of nuggets, and I would come back.
It was really bad because we were 18, and we should probably explain our college experience because it was essentially Ezra's dad bought a house that the six of us were going to live in, and we were of course paying rent, which was of course the mortgage
exactly,
and so bad idea just in general didn't
No, we were running it all.
Luckily, later
he
did sell that house. I think made some profit.
Oh yeah, that was always their plan. Well, they rented. They kept renting it out to respectable, whatever tenants. But man, that was some times there, man. Some wicked. I don't know.
We
remember first semester very well.
There's a lot of class being skipped.
A lot.
It wasn't just this Star Wars game. There was another one which we'll get to.
Okay. So anyways, it was just wild, and I'll never forget it because of that, everything that was happening in my life at that time. You know what I mean? It was the perfect storm. And somehow I made it out. Oh gosh.
So I'm just kind of scrolling through here. So Star Wars for the NES, I kind of reviewed that. It's on the Rebel Watch page. I played through it. It's okay. It's kind of hard.
It is hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't really recommend it to anyone today. God, there's so many. The Super Star Wars series for the SNES. Gosh, those games were classics. You can get them today really cheap on Steam or PlayStation, or you can just emulate it for free if you want to do that. But classics. I think I didn't really play a lot of that as a kid, but I think a lot of people still view those as the best Star Wars games.
Yeah, I mean, I remember playing those with.
They're hard.
They're very hard.
Or maybe I just suck at them, which is also
true.
No, I was terrible. I think they're pretty hard.
But I do think they're hard because I remember my cousins. I had a couple of them. I was over after church one day over there playing. And I mean, I spent an afternoon. I demanded to go back the next weekend. And they were telling me, no, you can't get past this part. There was a part we just could not get past, So, anyways, it's epic. Yeah, they had the Sarlacc pit in there and everything once you got into, some of the later stuff with Return and what have you.
Yeah, so I'm just looking up some other ones here. So, as widely known, at least on the Rebel Watch podcast, that Episode 1 is my favorite Star Wars movie. I, in no way, shape, or form, argue that it's the best. It's just my favorite.
Yeah,
mostly due to Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
But there were two games released. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, which is trash. And the far, far superior Star Wars Episode 1 Jedi Power Battles.
Yep.
Released on the PS1
yep.
and the Dreamcast. And I guess there's also a Game Boy Advance version, but I don't really know a whole lot about it. But this game is fucking sick.
Dude, it is. It was so great. I actually do remember the Power Battle, the double triple jump that you could do. I mean, it was just insane.
It's playing Duel of Fates. You have to go through all the things, and if you beat the game, you unlock Darth Maul, who's boss.
Once you beat the game, couldn't you play as Darth Maul? Couldn't you play as or could you just already play as any character you wanted?
You could pick any character you wanted. You could play I don't think you could play as Kit Fisto, but I do believe you could play as
Plo Koon.
And Mace Windu was in the game, who had this absurd power. He did have a blue lightsaber.
Right.
He's on the cover with the blue lightsaber because it was before he had the purple.
Right.
But he has this power where he basically just sits down and meditates, and this lightsaber just flings around him.
Yep.
And everybody kind of had their own power. So I played as Qui-Gon because he's my favorite Jedi.
Yeah.
The whole favorite character, and he just had a sick force push.
Yep.
But Obi-Wan had the, like,
speed.
The force speed.
Yep. Oh, yeah, the force speed.
Is the only time we ever see that power in the movie? I think it is.
Well, you know, okay, so you have a force, that force speed, which he and Qui-Gon both display, by the way, in episode one. And then he shows us a force jump later, which we see Luke use that in five.
Yeah.
Big time.
That's right, yeah. But is that the only time we see the force
speed? I think so, my friend.
I believe it is.
I'm pretty sure that it is, and it is awesome.
I don't ever remember people saying, oh, you can do that in the force now.
No, I mean, they shot the hell out of there. Yeah. Like, it was so cool. And I was like, what?
Like, I know. I think it's the only time it's ever.
Yeah, and the force jump is really neat. I mean, it's just like.
Although, you know what's funny is that, maybe this is a plot hole, and I've never really thought about it until this moment. So if he can use the force speed, how is it that he got separated from
Qui-Gon?
Never thought about that until right now.
Well, hey, it goes back to maybe he was drained. You know, he had just force jumped to catch back up. So I don't know.
How is it that he?
Yeah,
I never thought about that until right now.
Maybe he didn't think that he was going to get cut off by those, energy walls.
Mm-hmm.
So energy beams. I mean,
yeah, don't know.
But I bet you he was kicking himself, wasn't he, for not, you know, hurrying the heck
up. And, of course, he defeats Darth Maul. But anyway, episode one, power battles. I mean, I think my list, it's like top. I mean, if it weren't for Knights of the Old Republic and then another game, which we'll get to here in a bit. But so then there's a game for the original Xbox called Star Wars Episode One Obi-Wan's, or it's like Obi-Wan. It's the original Xbox. You basically just play as Obi-Wan. It kind of uses the same engine as, I want to say, like the Jedi Academy games, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not very good, but I did play it. And, you know, it's kind of one, if you want to go back and you want to play some older, it was like, I believe it was an Xbox launch title. But, yeah, not the best. But, yeah, Star Wars Obi-Wan. So, yeah, definitely one to go back to. Ezra, you got one specifically you want to jump into here?
Well, I don't know if we had a chance. So do you want to get into the...
getting to all of them.
Okay, so. Star Wars Jedi Knight Academy. Oh,
let's go. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. So that is a long list of games. I think it's like Dark Forces 2,
yes.
Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast, Jedi...
Does it start with Dark Forces?
I believe it does.
What it starts with? Okay.
Yeah, because I think that's the first game where you get introduced to...
Yeah.
Kyle Katarn.
Yeah.
A.K.A.
Right.
The best...
The only character we want to see come back, into canon.
Yeah, I know. Like, we got Thrawn back. Are we getting Kyle
Katarn? Dude, I'm telling you right now, when they announce that, I mean,
everyone's going to lose their mind.
Dude, it might be, it would sell more than Thrawn. I mean, I'm telling you, it would. Straight up, it would be
Kyle Katarn. So maybe you're like, who's this? Maybe you're like, you just got starting in Star Wars Episode 7, or I don't know. Maybe you're younger.
Right.
And you're like, this is cool. Kyle Katarn, he's a big deal. And he may be one of the most powerful Jedi ever.
Yeah. Yeah, he's huge. He is one of, he kind of goes back and forth between being like Luke's, you know, apprentice to being sort of like this smuggler type of just soldier character, but also you know who he reminds me of in current canon is actually, I take this back. Well, okay, more of like a Kanan or an Ezra.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because they're kind of like, they're not quite full Jedi,
yeah, because Kyle Katarn is also he's kind of in an odd way a mix between Han Solo and Luke, right?
Yeah.
Think of that thing where he's like, he uses blasters, so he's kind of like, he's kind of, he also, he's got that smuggler feel to, like, if Han Solo were a Jedi, that's Kyle Katarn.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, I just pulled up his wiki page, and like the first quote from him is, "I'm no Jedi. I'm just a guy with a lightsaber and a few questions."
Yeah,
I mean, so he's super cool. And by the way, real quick, Fimei is like a super, you know, Star Wars, you know, nerd out there. I didn't mean to say that that Kanan and Ezra aren't legit Jedi. I was just saying that, it's. I mean, at what point Ezra has a blaster Jedi?
Well, isn't Kanan dead?
You're spoiling it for people.
Well, we get criticized on we get criticized on that because people are like, "Oh, way to spoil the show."
Spoil it.
Sorry.
Go, you know, stay up on your Star Wars. So Kyle Katarn would be huge, and you're right, though. I think he was, what year did Dark Forces come out? Was that early 90s, like 95?
That was mid 90s. Dark Forces is, so that's the thing. So it's, I believe it started as Dark Forces. Let me.
That's the earliest game that I can find that he's in it. You know?
I think he's the main character. Yeah. So he's the protagonist of Dark Forces. So Dark Forces is kind of like the old Doom, like Duke Nukem game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then it went on like later. And then, you know, the Jedi Outcast, Mysteries of the Sith, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's really it's like a seven game kind of span.
Yeah.
That he's in. He's not the main character of Jedi Academy. You kind of play as your own Jedi, but he's like the Jedi Master, mm-hmm. like training you.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of those games are really, really good. Jedi Academy actually still to this day has an online community. Because it's really one of the only games where it's like a free flowing, you get it, like you get to pick your force power, whatever. And it's like lightsaber fight. Like people are still putting in mods. Like, I mean, still to this day.
Wow.
And so I played this online. When we were living at the Newark house, I was playing online. You just jump into servers. There's a bunch of people. So you can pick a blaster if you want. You can like pick a lightsaber and you can pick whatever lightsaber you want. You want to go two hands. You want to go one. You want to go double blade like Darth Maul style. And then you could also pick, if you went one lightsaber, you could pick like different like forms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you like, and then like people were doing mods. So you can put on like custom, you know, like things. You could pick custom arenas. And so like I was hosting my own server of like just like you'd have like five people fighting in the Darth Maul, Qui-Gon, like Obi-Wan little room. And so you'd like try to knock people down into the thing. It's just, it's a, it has a really good online community.
Right. Yeah. This is where I was confused. You know, when you were talking about how it was the first of maybe a series, because like the sequel, it says, is called Star Wars Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2. Mm-hmm. And that's where like the Jedi Knight piece.
And then it goes to like Star Wars Jedi Knight, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast.
Right.
And it's like essentially Jedi Knight 3, but it's called Jedi Academy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it like trends over this kind of long series, but it's all about Kyle Katarn.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's freaking awesome.
And he's in a lot of books.
Yep, he is. He's in a crap ton of books. He's mentioned all over the place.
Yeah, the ones from that I specifically played, I played Dark Forces, which is like Doom. It's like the old Doom kind of first person shooter. And then I played Jedi Academy, and that one's super cool. Like I was kind of saying, even the story of that is super cool. So you play as, it's like you and this other guy I don't know if you can play as girls, but I think it's you and this other guy get sent to the academy.
Mm-hmm.
And something happens in the middle where you kind of have to make a decision. And either you can go like dark side or you can light side.
Yep.
And then if you go light side, you have to end up fighting a like Sith, like an ancient Sith Lord that like comes back, and the battle's super hard.
Yeah.
But if you go light side, you have to fight like Kyle Katarn.
Jeez.
Or you go dark side, you have to fight Kyle Katarn.
That's cool.
It's sick. So it's super cool. It's one of the best Star Wars video games. You can buy it on Steam, I think, for like $3 or something. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So, okay, Ezra, let's keep going here. So many games to get through here.
What do you got?
All right, started on the N64, but I think the one everyone really remembers as being the best was a launch title for the Nintendo GameCube, and that is, and probably one of the games that is requested the most for new Star Wars games is Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, these games, so good.
So good. And our good buddy Tom, this is like a classic. We would go over and this is what we played. Mm-hmm. You know, this is actually, so this is back in, for us, good God, this was in high school. We were still pulling this out. It came out for us in middle school, I think, or whatever. What'd you say? Late 90s, mm-hmm. something like that. 98, something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here it is, 98. And then, the other one follows up shortly after that. But, yeah, Rogue Squadron, huge. What would you say? It was on the 64, wasn't it? It was on...
Originally, the first one's on the Nintendo 64. The second one, which I think is the one most everyone played, the GameCube.
GameCube. That's where I played it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember it being on the 64, but I remember over at Tom's house, we would always play it on his GameCube. And, you could get sucked into that. That's one of those two that would just take your, you know, whole evening away. You could mm-hmm. just keep playing. So that's a favorite. I think that's a favorite for a lot of people. That's probably, wouldn't you say that's ranked in most people's like top five?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I think it is. I think most people have that as like one of the best Star Wars games, you know. ever in their top five, at least.
Yeah, there was a rumor, an internet rumor I was looking for, in that when Nintendo was making the GameCube, this may not be true, but there's something about, I remember reading this rumor that when Nintendo was making the GameCube, one of the first games they were, because like, I'm pretty sure Rogue Squadron was a launch title. I'm like 99% sure that it was like one of the first games. And that when they were working the GameCube, like, you know, obviously they have people developing for it.
Sure.
And that the controller, you know how the Nintendo GameCube controller has that enormous A button?
Yes.
You know, it's the purple.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's got that tiny little, is that like in Rogue Squadron, that's the button used to fire. So that like Rogue Squadron helped influence Nintendo on the controller design for that thing.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's really an internet rumor. I don't know if that is 100% true. I think people will probably tell me that it is, but I'm pretty sure here.
Because what was it? Just doing so well that then...
Well, it's just in development. So, you know, the GameCube launched, you know, obviously they have that controller design.
Yes.
But, you know, it was in development while they were, you know... They're developing the system. They issued out, hey, developers, here's our thing. They give them kits.
Gotcha.
You know, so that way when the system comes out, there's games to launch, and that like they knew that this game was coming out, and they were seeing how, you know, and it helped.
I thought because I don't know systems and everything.
Right.
So it came out on 64.
So the first game did, but I'm talking about, I'm talking about Rogue Squadron 2.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. That makes sense, because of the success, wasn't...
The first game was very successful.
That's what I'm saying, that kind of propels them to say, we got to make this controller work for freaking Rogue Squadron 2. I mean, that's awesome. That is so cool. I mean, because, anybody who plays video games knows a little something about Star Wars and has played a Star Wars game here or there, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are.
Oh, absolutely.
There'll be one guy reach out to us. Well, both of you have never played. No.
Yeah. May not be true. I'm pretty sure I've heard that somewhere. Hopefully someone else has heard that too, and then we're not just talking a bunch of BS over here. But
that'd be cool. That would be neat if someone else can confirm that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up.
Look it up and post it.
So, all right, let's see here. Some other Star Wars games to get through. We got a lot. So, okay, we talked about that. Galactic Battlegrounds, which is kind of a prelude to Empire at War.
Well, first,
Galactic Battlegrounds is just kind of, it's kind of a prelude to Empire at War. Let's go ahead and talk about Empire at War.
And let's talk about the game that you and I have never played. You and I have never faced off in this.
We haven't, but there's been a lot of BS. There's been a lot of smack been talked over the years about what would happen if we did.
Dude, like you talk about a battle royale. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, we should do it. And I think it starts now. We have been talking shit to each other for so many years about possibly what we would do. Like, you've heard rumors. I know, Matt. See, unfortunately, Matt has heard rumors from Mike and Tom as to what I like to do in that game, my strategy and my approach. So I'd have to adjust my strategy. I don't really want to talk about my strategy right now, but like we would play that game. One of my fondest memories. Can I tell a story? Mm-hmm. Is it okay? Tell a little story. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I would get together with these guys and I would dare Mike and Tom to team up against me. I would take an AI. Okay, and it would start. All right, I would start mining, and then I would start building, and then I would start hoarding. And they never saw it coming. Okay, the hoard and the bombing runs. All right, and I'll just never forget. Like one night, it was like I don't know, man. It was probably like 6-7 o'clock by the time we get this set up or whatever, you know. And my mom's going to bed, you know, she's got to get up. We're all in the living room, just chilling out, got a pizza, pop, chilling out, you know, and she's got to get up at like 3 or 4 in the morning. And then like, you know, we're sitting there, I mean, in the heat of it, got the headphones in, no one's talking. Just picture a living room that the TV was playing some, probably a Star Wars movie. It was on silent, right? And this room just, for, I want to say, 9 hours straight, you've got three guys sitting in a room just not talking to each other. You know, I mean, every once in a while you'd hear like Mike lean over to Tom and just say, "Tom, get that mining facility." You know, I mean, like, or hey, how many credit can you, you know, real quick? And I'm not talking to anybody because I've got an AI and I'm listening to this chatter, right? And I made them sit across from each other.
So I have played. I really haven't played this game. My brother, who is very big into RTS, like Command and Conquer and stuff like that. And actually, I will tell a quick story about that. When you're done with yours.
Yeah.
So I haven't played as much of this game, but what you're saying is that we can get it was always Mike and Tom playing against you.
Yeah, and you know what? I would be willing to an alliance.
Yeah. So let's have a Jedi alliance. Okay. I think definitely the fans of Rebel, because it should also be Mike versus Ez, because there's a lot of requests for that on Rebel Watch. So we'll get it set up.
Okay.
We're doing it
live.
Yeah, we'll figure it out,
dude. Be prepared. It will be 10 hours.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I mean,
we'll
I'm not messing with.
Yeah, we'll twitch it. We'll twitch it, okay. and it'll be Tom. You know, Tom and Mike.
Wait, can we show people like two screens, like their screen? And then my screen.
If we did that, we would need somebody else to run it. Maybe we get our good buddy David Fogel.
Yeah, that's fine.
To do that, that way he can man the Twitch. Twitch stream. Because if we saw each other's screens.
No, I wouldn't want that. I would want.
We'll figure it out. Anyway, get back to your story. I don't want to separate.
No, you're fine. So, I mean, like the crazy part, like no one's talking, right? And I would hear these whispers across the room. Just like, I mean, dude, I would play with an AI, and the AI, you know, is going to do its thing. But
was it always those two?
Yes, because they were like, here's the thing, the AI, and you could set the level of the AI. Was it going to be medium, hard, blah, mm-hmm. blah, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And at first, you know, we started off like easy, medium. I was destroying them, mm-hmm. just annihilating these guys. And it's just me and an AI. And hear me out here. So like the AI I can't remember which level it was. But anyways, we increased, I guess, like either the difficulty or decreased. I can't mm-hmm. remember exactly how it works. But like to where we tried to level it out, right? And I just knew my AI so well. I knew what they were going to do. And I managed what I needed to manage. And I supported what I needed to support it. I should not have an AI and get, and be demolishing two other, I should not be happening. And it did. And so anyways, but the one night that I specifically remember, like mom had saw us all. She was always happy that we were in the house, not out, you know, drinking and doing all sorts of craziness, you know. And so she's going to bed, happy we're there, wakes up at like 3 or 4 in the morning. We're not making a peep because we are in like serious like building mode, right? She comes in. She's like, Ezra? Ezra? And like it's like dark and all you can see is like, you can see this.
Remember as his mom and just like,
oh, you know, just seeing her walk in there, and then all she sees is like three faces lit up by these screens and no one's talking. And everyone's just like madly working on the computer. And that's how she left us, you know? And so I didn't even look up. I'm like, mom, we're still playing. Mom, we're still playing. And she's just like, so when are you done? I was like, When the battle is over. And she was like, wow. Now,
were you playing the full version or were you just playing the expansion?
I think
we
had to play the regular because somebody didn't have the expansion. Gotcha. Mike didn't have the expansion. So we had to play the regular. But the mom rolls out to work and she ended up talking to me later about it. And she's like, that was ridiculous. She's like, does that happen when you go over to Tom's? And I'm like, yeah, mom, that's what we do, mom.
Yeah. So my experience with this is, so my brother Nick is huge into real-time strategy games.
Yeah.
And I used to play them a lot, like the Command and Conquer series. Right. So, like most things, once Electronic Arts gets their hands on it, and we'll get to that here in a bit when we start talking about Battlefront.
Yeah.
Electronic Arts, you know, kind of ruins things.
Yeah.
And so Electronic Arts had bought Westwood Studios, who had made the Command and Conquer series. And then some of those guys left, and they worked on this game, which is why it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So anyway, actually Thomas from Box Trick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually talk about that in one of our patron episodes. We do this thing called the Rundown, where we break down, like we go over series histories.
Nice.
And maybe we'll have to have you for one of those to do just go over some of the Star Wars games.
That'd be cool.
And where we talk about like the development side of it and stuff like that. And so that's just something we had talked about. But my brother Nick, he is huge into these types of games and stuff like that. So he is like, I mean, like he plays this game like it's his life. I mean, so he just know how good he is at he's like almost on those, like the level of like people who play StarCraft, like the Koreans who play StarCraft, who can like, you know, just like,
right. They got their hotkeys all
lined up.
They
can rush you and like beat game over. That's like the level at which, like, he plays very competitively online, like RTS, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like, I do not believe that like, if we did 3-on-1, we could beat him.
Really?
I think he's that, like, wow. I think he's like that. I just think he's that good.
He's
like,
that good. Yeah.
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 Like it's like a total, but I want to see that as well, because he would be down. I mean,
I'm sure he would. Yeah, I would love to play. I would love to play. First of all, I'd love to play with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd like to see behind the lines.
What we should do is we should bring him in as a ringer. Because if we get it all set up, you know, obviously Mike is going to be talking a ton of trash. Mike and Tom be like, we're not going to lose.
Oh no, they are the so masters.
What we'll do is we'll bring him in, and then Mike and Tom will talk a ton of trash, and then Nick will just be like,
done.
He'll rush them. See, he'll do like a bum rush. I'm like,
it's over.
Yeah,
yeah. Sorry guys, we don't get to play for 9 hours straight. You know, the thing,
played for 9 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. The thing too is, that's a way to do it. By the way. That is the way to sometimes to do it's the commanding your infantry with like your hotkeys and stuff, setting up.
Oh, he knows he does all that.
Exactly. You got to set up groups. So those guys were like clicking and dragging. I'm like, so behind.
Oh my God. They're
so behind.
I want to play them because I do hotkeys and
I'm like, I think maybe Tom does, but then like you just figure out which side Mike's on, take him out, flank him, you know, doesn't see it coming.
Yeah. We got to get that one rolling. So real quick, I want to talk about a handful of games that are not Star Wars games, but have feature Star Wars characters. So, anyone who has played the Tony Hawk Pro Skater series will know that you can always unlock secret characters. Wow. And in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3, you could unlock Darth. So in 2 was the first one where they added secret characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, like of outside the thing, and you could play as Spider-Man. It was just super cool because he was like super OP. Because you know, it's skating, right? So he would do a thing where he'd like kick his board way out and then like web sling it back or whatever.
Yeah.
So in 3, you could get Darth Maul, and he would like, when he would do tricks, and he would like pull out his lightsaber and like jump over it. It's just like little things. And then in 4, you could play as Jango Fett.
Mm. Yeah.
But in 3 is what I played a ton of, and I just remember playing that game so much and just always playing as Darth Maul, and he's just doing crazy tricks. And then in Soul Calibur 4, which is like a fighting game, they're actually featured on the cover. I believe you could like get Darth Vader, Star Killer from Force Unleashed, and Yoda. So it was like kind of like Tekken, but you had like Star Wars characters and stuff.
That's
like
cool.
That. So I played a heck of a lot of those games. So
real
quick. So, all right. I think there's really two huge franchises left for us to talk about.
Yeah.
So
which one do you want to do first?
I think we should end. It's hard to say which one's better, but one franchise that I believe it really put it on the map. And if you look at where it's at today, where they've had hundreds of other games,
mm-hmm.
what I remember being the first, and it might have been, was the Lego series.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Lego Star Wars put this kind of Lego frame. I mean, now you have Lego Harry Potter, Lego Lord of the Rings, Lego Marvel, Lego everything. And I think it really started with Lego Star Wars.
Did it really? Wow.
It may not have been the first game, but it was certainly the most successful game that kind of created this,
where people were like, it was a heck of a lot of fun to play. And I mean, it was satisfying, just all the things that you could do, you know, the I don't know, man, just to bust open. I when I play that game, I get so consumed. I want to collect every freaking Lego coin that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, it's really neat. Plus you get to, you know, all the different characters. You get to play with all those different characters, and you get to kind of, you know, be on different planets, different settings and stuff, you know, as, you know, Luke, if you want. And later on, you could get, like, different costumes, and you could come back and be, you know, the Black Luke with, like Return of the Jedi.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But you have him in a different place that he really shouldn't be, you know? It's mm-hmm. like, oh, that's kind of...
Well, yeah, so if you had both... So I remember it because I bought the first one, because the first Lego Star Wars was prequels, and then you got the second one, and I remember having it, I think it on PS2 or maybe I had it on GameCube, I can't remember. But if you had like, you had your memory card, and it would like pick up your save, So if you had the second one, if you had the second game, then you could pull the characters. Because, you know, this is before DLC and, games were connected online to do updates and stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, so if you, in the second game, you could play as, like, Darth Maul. So you could have Darth Maul, like, in, like, the free play episodes and stuff like that. It was,
right.
It was set up to do that. And since then, of course, there's the third installment, which is, like, the Clone Wars based off the animated series and stuff like that. Now there's Lego Force Awakens. I still can't believe there's not, like, a Last Jedi video game.
I know.
I'm sure some people are being like, I wonder why, but but the Lego games, you know, when these came out, so now they have like voice acting and they do all that kind of funny stuff. But I mean, think about, I gotta kind of look this up here. To me, this is what really started the Lego franchise.
Yeah.
Think about where it's at today. Now we have movies. We have all, I mean, obviously Legos have been around and there were Lego video games, but this is, I think probably this has got to be the most early on successful. This was the 13th best selling video game of that year. And 2005, let me just, in terms of video games, was a enormous year.
Yeah.
In video games. So, real quick here, maybe you can kind of pick up here for a second, I'm gonna pull up what other big just general video games came out that year.
Yeah, that's fine. Pull that up because just back on this, you know, the Lego series, Star Wars, you know, complete saga. It opening up with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon was it was just neat. It was really fun. I had I remember Tom and I got this game, got together, and it's sort of like a reoccurring theme. I don't know why I didn't play more video games with you, but I mean, you were always there. We were always playing games together. Mm-hmm. But like, I remember just, you know, Tom just always had the newest game and on the best system or whatever, and so we get out there and play together. But we spent hours playing this. This is another one of those that. Did this come out in 2005.
2005?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would have been right before
So, yeah. So, now, to be fair, the one thing I will say is that this came out on, I don't think it was on the original Xbox, but it came out on GameCube and PS2. So some of these games I'm about to reference may have only came out on one system.
Okay.
So that, you know, could cut down the numbers. And to be fair, the PlayStation 2 is the best-selling video game system of all time.
Yeah.
But, so for it to do that well in that year... These are some of the other video games that just came out that year. Resident Evil 4, which is widely considered probably the best Resident Evil game, and a lot of people say one of like top 100 video game of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I had some other. It came out the same year as Knights of the Old Republic 2. Came out the same year as Gran Turismo 4. Some of these Tekken 5. Star Wars Republic Commando also came out.
Wow.
You know, a lot of Star Wars games here. Spider-Man 2, which was a huge, huge video game. A lot of people say that's one of the best Spider-Man games. Sorry, this list is super, super big here.
Is this the top? You said the top selling?
These are just some of the games that also came out.
Gotcha. Okay.
Came out that year. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which is, you know, so... Yeah. I mean, for it to be in the list, like selling
tier.
As well as some of those games. Yeah. I mean, those are huge games. Like,
right.
You know, just if you look at like the video game history kind of a thing. So,
well, and during that time, I mean, let's see, 2005, was that right before episode? Is that right before episode?
Right before episode. Well, no, because Lego Star Wars would have came out, so episode 3 would have already been out. I think episode 3 came out in 2000.
I can't remember.
It must. I think episode. Well, because we were seniors, so it must have come out 2005.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Actually,
or early 2006.
May 19th, 2005.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Yep. So right afterwards, this comes out, right? So anyways, it's coming. I mean, hot off of, you know, Star Wars is hot. You know, so that has to do with, you know. So, but it was also fun, like, you know, all the different things where you could go. Like the puzzle piece. I just love, like, you have to go kind of figure out how to, like the, what do you call that? The mechanics of the game.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 was released that year. Gosh, how many Star Wars games were released in 2005?
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, it was hot. I mean, it was insanely hot. I mean, it's radical. So,
Mario Kart DS, which was a huge, I mean, you're talking massive selling video game. So for Lego Star Wars to be in there, it probably outsold actually Knights and all those other, maybe not Battlefront 2, but it's outsold all those other games.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's just something to think about in terms of that. So, all right, let's go ahead and jump into it. Kind of the last maybe franchise we're going to talk about here. And that is the other game that took up a lot of our time and why we didn't, why we skipped a lot of class. And that would be Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
So I bought the original Star Wars Battlefront on the Xbox, which is one of the most underrated Star Wars games. And it was a lot of fun. And it's if you go back and play it compared to, say, Battlefront 2. So Battlefront 1 didn't have heroes. It was much more like squad-based and stuff like that. And so it made picking up a vehicle way more important. There were no space battles. Mm-hmm. And they had the way they did some of the maps were really interesting. Like Hoth was like they just did stuff like a different way. And actually, we should go back and play the original.
Yeah,
the original Battlefront. I think it really was much more of a war. And so in Battlefront 2, the one we have now, the new Battlefront games, I should say, where it's not really as much as like it used to be, hey, go grab this zone. And I kind of liked that more than how we have it now, where it's kind of like, you know, hold the line.
Yeah.
So it was like it was like a lot more fast paced, a lot more frantic, like, hey, go.
Well, it was satisfying too. You got people just running at your zone, and you're just mowing them down. It's crazy, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there was much more like team squad based tactics involved.
Yeah, for sure.
And then of course came Star Wars Battlefront 2, the OG, which a lot of people say is the best Star Wars game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're not an RPG guy, so if you pretty much I would say it's a three-way tie, and it just kind of depends on how you look at it. I kind of view significance, so I would say you're either a Lego Star Wars person, or you're a Battlefront person, or you're a Knights person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Though if I were doing a top 10 Star Wars, I would have those three in my top, and just maybe depending on the time of the day, switch it around. But
right.
But Star Wars Battlefront 2, my God, Galactic Conquest.
Man.
So much fun. And then, of course, it added space battles, added heroes.
Right.
And today, so interesting about this is that Disney actually just allowed for the servers of this game to go back online, like for the PC version.
Yeah, you were showing me
that. Yeah, so you can actually go play. Now, they're not, of course, kind of, you know, just like some group must have hit them up, and you can go back and play Star Wars Battlefront 2, the classic. And there are tons of mods for this where you can make it 4K and play in, like, HD and add all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, do you remember, I mean, like, just some of the... I mean, the sessions we had just...
Oh, my gosh.
Going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just...
Our good buddy, Brett Anthony, would always come over. So this is back when we were in college. Yep. We'll just go ahead and say it, because I doubt he's listening. Brett Anthony was just this guy. You know, Happy Console Gamer does this, where he just talks about these people went to high school with, and he just tells the whole story.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, if they listen, whatever. Like, you know. So, our, you know, Brett Anthony was just this guy. Let's be honest. He's kind of a rich kid. Okay? He was kind of a rich kid. So, he'd always hit us up. Be like, hey, guys. Like, yeah, come over. Maybe play some Battlefront. We're like, only if you bring us a $5 Little Caesars pizza.
You are not getting in here to play this game with us unless we get a pizza coming through the door.
And he would do it.
Are you kidding me? Because, you know, it's a fun game to play, but man, when you can get together and play with your buddies and stuff, I mean, it just was like, he wanted that. And so we were like, hey, there's a payment.
Yeah.
Pizza.
He would do it every time.
Every time.
Every time. So we ate a lot of Little Caesars pizza.
We did.
Which probably, you know, destroyed our metabolism slowly, which is, you know, why I'm a little, you know, I'm a lot bigger guy, right?
Yeah.
You know? I work out, but, you know, I could probably lose about 5 pounds. But,
About 20.
Yeah, I was hoping to be like, you know, Han Solo, but I'm little Porkins right now. But you know, he would bring us these pizzas, but we would play nonstop space battles.
Yeah,
because that was really cool. That was like you had the space battles and you could like destroy the ship from the outside. But the real thing to do would be like get in a ship, fly into theirs, mm-hmm. and like run and like, you know, throw bombs. And then you had like turrets.
Isn't it crazy that you could do that? That was just like. That was nuts, man. I don't know.
So much fun. And then, of course, Galactic Conquest.
Yes.
You do the whole thing, but now you have a map and you have to claim territories.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the heroes in this game, the list was huge.
Yeah, it was.
And you could jump into anything. Like, Geonosis was a lot of fun, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
So
yeah, that is honestly one of that is probably my favorite
Star Wars video game.
Yeah, just because I remember playing it with all of you guys, and I remember just
even by yourself, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. Oh, for sure. Yeah,
yeah.
But we would just sit around, even like, you know, watch people play. It was just,
yeah, I would say, I mean, Knights obviously is a very engrossing story. It's, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You get the Sith side of it. But this game, this, it's tough. I mean, they're just different.
Well, this was more, I think it was just fun to play. It was fast paced. You could just hop in.
Yeah, this one to me feels like Star Wars. Because this game to me probably is the game that feels the most. Like, you could immediately, like, if you thought of what a big Star Wars, like, battle should look like, mm-hmm. then this is the one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yep.
Then there were a handful of games, like for the PSP, which, like, portable versions of this.
Yeah.
So some people don't consider that the real Battlefront 3. So then Battlefront 3 was actually going to be designed, be developed, and EA kind of got the, like, exclusive rights to... Maybe not exclusive rights to Star Wars games, but anyway, you know, development kind of gets tossed around, then gets sold to Disney.
Right.
And so then one of the first things Disney does is, I'll give them credit, is they say, hey, we know what you guys have very long time wanted, Battlefront 3. We're making it. So we get Star Wars Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a major letdown. It looked gorgeous. There was no story mode. There was even John Boyega.
I know.
Criticized it on Twitter. He's like, no story mode?
I know.
So, and there's a lot of microtransactions and that whole thing. But I will give Electronic Arts credit. They did give out a lot of free content. And there's the whole thing where, like they were pushing the season pass, like, the day it came out. Like, it's $60. So you have to spend $120. It's a big thing. But I will say we had a lot of fun playing it.
Yeah, we did. And it was just like, I don't know. We all were going to pay it because it had just, you know, Star Wars is back.
Yeah.
You know, and so and I think they took advantage of it. And that's what kind of rubs people the wrong way, you know? It's like, well,
and that's why its player base dropped off immediately.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because they should have treated this series better.
And it also speaks a little bit to where we're at in video games now, where think about for the people who are listening at Box Trek, you are obviously far more familiar with this, but you know, for the people who are listening on Rebel Watch, we've entered this time in gaming where it used to be like, so here's the thing, we can get to other people, Ezra, mm-hmm. and we can go pop in my old disc of Battlefront 2 into an Xbox and we can still play it.
Yeah.
I think the servers are closed for Battlefront 1. The newer one.
Yeah.
It's like Destiny. It's like, the other thing is, you're not actually buying a game, you're kind of renting server space.
Right. Yeah.
For a limited period of time. Like, 10 years from now, you're definitely not going to be able to play it.
Yeah.
So that's why you have these companies that come in, or these people that kind of groups of people that make their own server and you can still play it. But, you know, who's playing it still? And
right.
Stuff like that. So that's just kind of video games in general and the way they're progressing. But now let's get to Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm.
So this game you and I reviewed, and it's on Rebel Watch and Box Trek, blasted immediately, specifically just for microtransactions, kind of a pay to win,
right?
Kind of a thing. And EA went through this whole thing, and now they just completely removed the paywall. So if you were somebody who paid a lot up front, you know, that speaks to this whole thing. And actually, the government, like, got involved, and they were, like, saying, started looking at microtransactions and loot boxes, and is this something we should do? And it's a whole big deal. But I guess we can just talk about the game itself.
Yeah.
So you and I actually gave it very high marks because we really liked the Iden Versio campaign.
Story.
And I think the multiplayer is a big improvement over the original.
Yeah, it's still fun to play. When you just look at the mechanics of it or whatever. The story, though, for me, I'm more of a, you know, story guy anyways, and adding to canon, always looking at that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. There's a book mm-hmm. for criminy's sakes. It took you back to the times of Shadows of the Empire when mm-hmm. you have a video game that has a campaign, a book, and it's tied in, and it's just really neat. So you and I actually read that book first. Inferno Squad, and then we get to play the story mission post episode. We get to pick right up. You get to pick right up after the second Death Star is destroyed, which is crazy. You know, to see what happens after that. And Special Forces are there.
Yeah,
they've even did an expansion. Are they going to do more stories?
I don't know.
Is that it? You know,
might be it. They're still doing updates.
It led right into The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
which is super cool.
Yeah, they're still doing updates, and who knows? Maybe there's a big talk that EA may, because EA now does have the official Star Wars license. So there's big talks that they may lose it because Battlefront 2 didn't sell well and didn't make money. Well, I don't know if it made money or not, but. You know, and that whole thing. But anyway, the game, it's a lot of fun. Especially, it's still one of those games you play with a group of people. It's fun.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's unfortunate that we're kind of in the spot we're in with video games. But, yeah, so going forward. So, anyway, guys, that is a very long-winded, quick kind of, I think that's like an hour, just jaunt through a lot of the Star Wars video games. I will say real quick, for those of you who are listening kind of right now, you can go on Steam and PlayStation Store and all that kind of stuff. And there's like a May the 4th sale going on. And so you could probably get all of those for like pretty cheap. I just bought like five games for like $10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were just telling about telling us about that yesterday, I think. I need to get out there and buy some myself, kind of go back and... Because the story is neat. I mean, it's like we're doing the Legends book club right now in, you know, for Rebel Watch. And we started back with Old Republic.
Yeah.
And my golly, I mean, if you want to talk about continuity and things that are happening there, like it's very important to play the games.
Mm-hmm.
All of that Old Republic stuff is book and then, I'm sorry, game and then it's game driven.
Mm-hmm.
And then books, you know, I mean, there's a comic book series too. But yeah, I don't know. It's, it's something. So anywho. So yeah, check that out if you want to. That we're doing a little, you know, book club Legends, just starting at the beginning and working our way through. So,
So all right, Ezra. At this point, this is where I ask everybody where they can find you on the internet. But first, a little thing we have to talk about. So, for those of you guys who are on Rebel Watch, you've probably heard about this.
Yeah.
And for those of you guys who are on Box Trek. You haven't heard about this. We are doing a charity event in the Polaris Parkway, kind of Columbus area, Barnes and Noble next weekend. We're raising some money for Children's Hospital.
Right.
And Ezra, I'll let you talk about that a little bit more here.
Yeah. So basically, I kind of decided that we wanted to do a live event. We've got some new books that are coming out for Solo, A Star Wars Story. So you've got The Last Shot, which has come out, and we've read and reviewed that here on Rebel Watch. And those of you that are listening on Box Trick, we've, you know, check that out if you're into some of the Star Wars literature or Legends books. Also, Most Wanted is coming out on the day that Solo releases, so we're going to be talking about that. So we wanted to do sort of a live podcast. We just wanted to kind of give it a go, try it out at our local Barnes & Noble. We had saw some trivia and stuff happening before. We also do trivia trials, Star Wars trivia. So we decided to go in there. We originally asked just if we could do trivia at like a bar, a couple bars or whatever, and then we stumbled across Barnes & Noble. So and it kind of evolved into this, like, is there a way for us to, if we're going to have people there, they brought up the idea of a book fair and a book share. So if you buy something from Barnes & Noble during this time, I think there's a the book fair goes on, it's like 7 days online, 3 days in the store from the start of our event. And there will be a voucher code, which we haven't got yet. We'll get that voucher code out to people. If you buy online, I think 10 to 15% of, you know, that sale will go to Children's Hospital, to support, you know, those kids in need. And, it's different for in the store. It's only 3 days there, but I think the percentage is closer to 15. So anyways, we're really looking forward to that. We'll, Mike, myself, Matt, our good friend Fogel will be there, and we'll be supported by a couple other you know, folks as well. But we're getting all organized, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And honestly, personally, I had a real strong connection to Children's Hospital growing up. Every time I would come out of there after a surgery, I would watch Star Wars. It's kind of what got me through. And I believed that through the Force, anything was possible. And so I kind of, you know, I just wanted to give back in that way. So we have a GoFundMe page, just to kind of, the GoFundMe page is, you know, it's going to be used to buy a couple prizes and a couple, different things for the giveaways. We just launched this actually like yesterday or the day, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's, just go to GoFundMe.com /Rebel Watch Force for Good. And even if you listen to this episode much later on Boxtrick or Rebel Watch, that will still be good. We're going to do like an ongoing campaign where we hit up Barnes & Noble, different bookshops and stuff, and kind of, you know, just have some fundraisers, give back to our community. So that's essentially what it is. We'll get the voucher code out to you guys once we get that established. But that is May 12th. Did we say that already?
Well, I don't know, but we said it again.
We're saying it now. So it's
May 12th.
Yeah, so 12th.
May 12th, the Barnes & Noble Polaris Mall. Polaris Mall in Columbus, Ohio.
Yep. Oh, we're going to be streaming it live, though. So
we're gonna be streaming it live, and
So if you're online, you want to check out our YouTube page, check out Rebel Watch, or Facebook, you know, like us on there, and you'll see it live. May 12th starts at 11 o'clock, probably 11:15 by the time we get it all rolling, and it goes until about 2:30 Eastern Standard Time.
So, all right, guys. Well, Ezra, where else can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at womprat_2m for 2 meters. You can also find me on Instagram, same handle. Also follow me on our main Rebel Watch podcast handle is at RW2187. I'm also on a little podcast with my good buddy Lane Smith, and we talk all things Lord of the Rings. So it's at Uptalkin Tolkien.
So I believe you forgot one.
Oh wow! Do we reference that on here too?
We do. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Normally I do. So now can reference it for me.
Good. Okay. Yeah. We also run a another little book club that we are super excited about. It's in a little place called Westeros. And that would be Bend the Knee. So that you can follow us there at BTKcast is the handle there. But a lot of fun in Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah, so you can follow me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros, and every place that you can also pretty much follow Ezra Kirk at. So, as always, guys, thanks for listening.